I'll go ahead and read the question, and you guys respond with the answer. Question 104. What do we pray for in the fourth petition?
In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessings with them.
All right. So what's this request asking for? Trudy? Careful, what do you do here? What's this request asking for, broadly speaking?
The good things of this life.
Oh, good. So our material needs, right? Yeah, the things in this life that we need. So, you know, obviously, first and foremost, we think about our food, right? Our daily bread. But I would, you know, implied by Mary's answer, and I think it's quite correct, is that there's other things that's implied here as well besides just our food. What might be some of those other things?
God's guidance in our walk each day.
Okay. Certainly, I do think so, ultimately. And we're going to get there by the end of our message. But, you know, on the material sort of earthly temporal needs, what sorts of needs might we need besides just food, Mary?
Shelter.
Good.
A job,
yeah, so you can provide for food and shelter and clothing, certainly. Those are all things that I think would be covered in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And I'll get to, I think, Jewel's statement too, that, you know, ultimately God's guidance in all these areas and in all our spiritual area life as well.
In good health,
absolutely. I think that would be fair to have this under here too. Our daily bread sustains our health in many ways, right?
Not just physical health, but spiritual health as well.
Amen. Amen.
Health coverage.
Mm.
This is our daily bread. In order to provide for ourselves, we need good health.
Jesus
is absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely. In today's day and age, that does come under health care in many ways. Very much. Oh, good. Well, let me ask you this. Is God obligated to give us these things?
No, it's a free gift.
It's a gift.
And maybe to set the context more, is God obligated to give us these things as the unsaved enemies of God, as those who are not Christian before we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is God obligated to give us any good thing like this?
There's a twofold answer to this. No.
You're right.
In reality, absolutely not, because we are cursed. Our first father sinned, and we have inherited that curse.
Mm.
But the fact that God has created us, and we are His creatures, as a God of love, He would be obligated to take care of those whom He has created.
Mm.
Now, I know that may not be an answer people would agree with.
Well, let me you know, put it in the context of grace, right? You know, that we believe in God's saving grace given to Christians, but there's also more general grace, common grace to all mankind. I think of a passage like Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, this is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? So what's Jesus saying there, and how does it relate to what we're talking about here?
Love your enemies. And we are enemies.
That's right. And there's a sense here in which Jesus is saying this is maybe not strictly an obligation for God or us in a just very strict legal sense. And yet God has commanded us as Christians to do this, and therefore it becomes an obligation for us. And He gives an example of His own character that, though rightfully He could just bring what He promised to Adam, what He told Adam, right? The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. He could have brought that judgment right then and there, but He didn't. He stayed His hand of execution for a time. Of course, we know why He stayed His hand of execution. Why did He stay His hand of execution? Tony?
The plan of salvation.
Amen. Yeah, if He just executed right then and there, there wouldn't be time for a Redeemer to come forth, for the seed of the woman, as promised in Genesis 3:15. So yeah, there's an aspect of God's grace then and there. And it's an aspect of God's grace that he provides food, daily bread, for Christian and non-Christian. This is not a thing that just a Christian gets, right? Non-Christians get their daily bread, and who do we give credit for that for? God. Trudy, did you have a...
I don't know if it's really good to add in now, but it's an interesting tension of having God provide for us and realizing that he sometimes doesn't. I mean, that being in America, we're very, very blessed. We're very supplied. But I remember the exact feeling I had when the Twin Towers were attacked. I was just so blown away. And it was sort of like, I thought, it's sort of like burst of bubble that I had that I didn't realize that I had, that nothing could happen to us because God's protecting us. And suddenly I realized many bad things do happen to Christians and non-Christians. Tsunamis come, earthquakes come, fires come, disease comes, death comes. So it's like we do definitely ask God to supply our needs, but sometimes those needs are not given to us. Maybe the cancer isn't healed. Maybe the person does die from it. Maybe a person does starve to death in another country that is a Christian. So it's like even those basic needs sometimes are not given from God. It's not a guarantee that he's always going to give it to us because his will is involved, and maybe that is his time to say, this is your time to die. You know?
Yeah, and you know, that boils down to Romans 8:28 again.
Right.
Do we believe that God has a plan for our life and that he's in control? And we all, you know that people grow old and die, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't grow old before they die. And when it happens to other people, sometimes it's easier to see God's providence.
Yeah.
Except when it's your own trial sometimes. Why, Lord? I can't believe you're allowing this to happen to me. And so we do have to keep that in mind as we pray this, that God's will for our life may be different than what we want it to be. And yet, maybe even that's how the Catechism begins to hint on that when it says here in the answer, we pray that God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of life. What's that word competent portion mean?
Our share.
Okay.
A portion of it.
And I think this maybe is getting into some of the difference. Trudy mentioned our needs. Oftentimes, what we think we need are different than what we really want. And the amazing thing is God often gives us not only what we need, but even abundantly more than we need. And of course, he tells us he does that so often so we have something to share with others. And yet, this is especially praying. When it uses that word daily bread, I think this is getting at the idea of a competent portion, that we're not just asking for greed's sake, that I would have all the riches of the world, but that I would have enough to live off of. I think of 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. Actually, someone want to turn there? 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. Why don't you all turn there if you have your Bibles? It would be good for you to have it in front of you.
I think the thing that really got me was that even our needs sometimes aren't really met. So I always thought that was God's blessing, was our needs will, you know, maybe not the things I want will be met, but my needs will always be met.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know why, when that happened that day, it suddenly took that away from me.
Yeah.
To realize that even the very basic things, God could say no.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting it from you. And it's like, it just shocked the daylights out of me because I believed in the God that, well, when everything gets really bad, at least he'll give me my needs. But realizing the reality is a lot of Christians' needs are not met because God has a different plan. It's not because he's abandoned people. It's just because he has a different plan in what he's giving people. But even the basic needs can be gone. And I didn't want to live with that type of God. I wanted a God that always was going to give me everything.
I think part of what also gets into that is, what do we truly need? And God has us here for some time on this earth, which is ultimately, in the big scheme, very small amount of time.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to, toward the end, kind of bring into, you know, what are our ultimate needs? And I think God ultimately does provide our ultimate needs, but sometimes what we think are needs, like even some of the bare necessities of life, oftentimes we find that in God's bigger plan is not what He would have us to need at this point. And yet, there are certain things from a human perspective and an earthly perspective that are needs here. And there is a bit of tension. I think this passage will bring it out even. Let's go ahead. Jules, do you have this? 1 Timothy 6?
Yeah.
6 through 8. Read 6, 6 through 8.
But godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought quote, nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content.
Okay, good. You know, it goes on to talk about the greed and love of money being, you know, sin. And, you know, it says here, though, having food and clothing, we shall be content. And, you know, in one sense, we recognize that that's the general truth being taught here, even that we're called to pray for. And yet we also have to color, I think, with what Trudy was getting at her point, was that sometimes we have to find contentment in even less than this. Now, I think that is more of an exception, though, for us here in our society. That I think for most of us, we do have food and clothing, and yet we're not content, is often the struggle that we might have. So, Deborah, we're on question 104 in the Catechism on page 877 of the hymnal. Glad you could make it. I'm sorry, did I...
I want to make a comment.
As
you all know, I was in India, and they are poor.
Mm.
And perhaps, but a pastor prayed. They have no running water. They have no bathrooms, but a common bathroom. There's no garbage system to pick up garbage. They have fuel by picking up animal fodder and burning it. They had no water this summer because of the intense heat.
Mm.
And what this pastor prayed was, Father, we have nothing to complain about. And I have often thought of those words many, many times. We are so abundantly blessed in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still complain.
Yeah. Yeah. Really reveals our heart.
Yeah.
And getting back into like the idea of, we said in some of the previous classes, how when we pray this, we should be changed. In light of that comment, right? When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and think about situations like that, how can we not be changed? You know, that's at least my hope, is that we're changed as we pray, that we our hearts soften to say, wow, I really do have so much. Because, you know, that was actually my next point, was our culture here is very much one driven on consumption.
Yes.
You know, our economic downturn that we're in is really an economic downturn in so many ways because people have cut back consuming. They haven't spent as much. And it's not that you see hordes of people suddenly on the streets with no food like before. Certainly there's increase in poverty, certainly there's an increase in joblessness. But, you know, so much is an increase in just not being able to buy that new toy that we might wanted to buy, or that new sets of different things. Our society's so driven. That's the American dream, right? Status symbols. Have that big SUV with the nice big house with the picket fence and everything. And I can't help but think of this prayer request calling us for contentment in our prayers. In what we ask for, and what we think about. You know, what's the 10th commandment?
Don't you covet.
Covet, yeah, certainly that's something we struggle with. In Luke it says, Jesus said in Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So again, I can't help but think about these scriptures as you pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And certainly that's behind, I think, the Catechism's description of a competent portion of the good things of this life.
Pastor, would you repeat that last Luke?
That was Luke 12, verse 15. Luke 12:15.
The Novato Water District has asked that consumption of water be reduced by every household.
Mm.
And I just have wondered, I mean, do we let the water run when we brush our teeth? Do we take longer showers than absolutely necessary? And I just wonder, as Christians, I feel obligated to obey the mandates because we just keep things going and going without even thinking. Yeah. Just a thought.
I think that's like when we talk about application, it's easy. We have a short period of time to do a little bits of application here and there, but I encourage you to think through those sorts of applications. You know, those are very specific things. But isn't that what God would have us to do? Is think about specific ways to apply these things. And so, yeah, you know, that might be a very real example of, you know, you've got an opportunity to live out the prayer. You know, that's what I keep trying to bring out as we pray these prayer requests. How do we live them out? You know, it's when you pray for something and then do the opposite, what do we call that? Hypocrisy, that's right. And so, you know, what different ways can we live this out? We obviously know God's the one who provides for our needs. Even when we acknowledge that there are these circumstances where maybe our earthly needs are not provided like we would like them to be, we still know that any provision we get comes from God. I think of Matthew 6:31. Again, the Sermon on the Mount is a great place to go to for here. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Well, probably a passage you're familiar with, but in light of the Lord's Prayer, if we're not supposed to worry about our daily bread, our daily needs, what are we supposed to do instead?
Trust.
What did I hear?
Be thankful.
Be thankful, trust, okay. Most specifically,
pray.
In terms of the Lord's Prayer, all those other things are quite true as well. In light of the Lord's Prayer, instead of worry, we're supposed to pray about them. So, you know, again, analogies of God's provision. Think of the wilderness wandering. They had physical needs in the wilderness wandering. How did God provide them?
He provided them with food, yeah. With meat. Yeah. Their clothes never wore out. Never their shoes out. Never wore out.
Yeah.
In India, the children took off their shoes for P.E. Because they didn't want them to wear out. So they had P.E. barefooted any time they went to the yard.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I think how much we have all the time.
Amen.
My sermon was on contentment when I was in Canada. And there was this one saying that it's not in the scripture, but it says, the birds of the air shall never want. And God provides the birds of the air with their food, but he never just throws the food in their nest. They have to fly out and look for it. Mm. So many times we, too, must leave our nest, pray, and provide for ourselves as God gives us means to provide for ourselves.
That's, again, something I wanted to get to in a minute here. Being consistent in how we live in light of our prayer requests means that we have certain actions that we do after we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. So, absolutely. You know, in the passage today that we're going to look at, I think it was last week's passage. In Deuteronomy 2, it talked about how God blessed the Israelites richly during their wilderness wandering. That was last week's passage, and it said, you know, because of that you can afford to pay the Edomites for food and water. Again, just another example of the analogy of the wilderness wandering, and we've seen it in our own life. God provides in different ways. And it is the complaining, you know, that sometimes happens when we don't feel like we have what we expect in terms of our needs. Or the worry is the other aspect. Instead, it says here in the Catechism answer, we should look to enjoy His blessing with them. Enjoy His blessing with them. Can anyone think in the Catechism where it talks about enjoying God and God's blessings? What's that?
It's Catechism 1.
That's right. Remember how that one goes? What's the chief end of man?
Glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
That's right. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And, you know, we often, you know, what do we do before we have a meal? We say a grace, right?
Yeah.
Idea of grace especially is an idea of thankfulness. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, talking about food and whatnot. Why don't we turn to 1 Timothy 4 here? We have time. Here, do you have 1 Timothy 4? Can you read verses 1 through 4?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Good. I guess just Vera reading that as an answer to give us this day our daily bread, as yes. She just had her eye surgery, and now just a couple weeks later, sitting here reading beautifully for us all. Praise the Lord. But it says in context here about receiving everything with thanksgiving, right? That's part of the enjoying aspect of not only being content, but actually being thankful. Sometimes we can be content in this sort of non-thankful sort of way, can't we? Well, I'm going to not complain and just kind of stew, but I won't say it out loud. And that's not really thankful, is it? Sometimes we have to thank God even when we don't feel very thankful and hope that in that process He even changes our hearts. Yeah. What false view does this passage in 1 Timothy have in mind? What false view does this passage have in mind that we shouldn't look to practice? Like in verse 3.
Chastity.
And then also after that?
Celibacy, abstention from food.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a view called asceticism. Big word. Anybody know what asceticism is? Tony, tell us about asceticism.
It's actually depriving the body of its very needs in order to sustain oneself in the false view that this honors God.
Yeah.
Whipping oneself, denying oneself of food, of drink, of sleep. It's bodily destruction.
Yeah. And it's taking a good principle bad. Like, for example, Jesus says, deny yourself and take up your crosses. So then they take that to a wrong extreme. As well, if I'm supposed to deny myself, take up my cross, I guess if I whip myself or hide out in a monastery and starve myself and never get married and abstain from all the good pleasures of life, that somehow makes me more godly.
The trick I finally realized is I was self-imposing these things. Mm. These were not godly impositions or rules. These were rules made by man,
yeah.
And that I followed had nothing to do with God or Scripture.
Mm.
And forbidding to marry, that's denying that sex was created by God for procreation as well as man's pleasure.
Yeah.
These are very false views.
Yeah, and the Bible says it right here. Yeah, God. And so I hope we're, you know, kind of going full circle here. Our Heavenly Father loves us. And He has ultimate plans to bring us into heaven and to give us eternal riches, eternal blessings. And that's His chief end is in terms of the plan for our life, is to bring us into something far better than anything this world has to offer. And yet what we do see in Scripture, that so often God is providing our so many needs, and not just our needs, but abundantly providing in different ways in this life. In other words, yes, we can acknowledge God cares about getting us to heaven and a place where it'll be amazingly wonderful. But even here and now, God gives us various good things. And when we get those good things, we should be thankful, content, not to treat that good thing as some like of the devil. The Bible says here that these are good things, that we should treat them with thanksgiving. It's a big difference. Vera.
I have to share something that happened just recently. When my father's cousin passed away last month, we went to her service. I was handed a check for $10,000. At the very time that my eye surgeries were coming up, and next Sunday I'll have a new denture, and my hearing aid died this week. Talk about the Lord meeting your needs before you even know you have them.
Amen.
By the grace of God, the money came in before the problems hit. So praise the Lord, He does meet our needs.
Yeah. And when we see wonderful examples like that, we could tend to be, temptation could be then to covet. How come God doesn't provide in my life like that ahead of time? But instead, I'd argue that instead of coveting that, that should cause you to trust God all the more. If you see examples like that of God providing ahead of time, why do you doubt that God's going to provide in your situation in the right time? Just at the right time. Sean, Martin, you guys know Sean, he made up these t-shirts. I think it's 11:59:59, and the idea is, you know, just before it hits 12 o'clock, right? It's often where in the final hour, the final seconds, when you find God, you know, working in these amazing ways. And God's just, timing is right on time, in other words, is the point of the t-shirts. And so often, we see that to be the case. And when we don't, pray that God will help you have eyes to see how he provides in ways that are beyond our imagination even.
Michael Horton, we had a video 2 weeks ago before I left. That triggered a lot of thinking in my mind. He spoke about the different gospels that we run around having. Mm. And it's very interesting. We have many, many gospels. Mm. I followed the gospel of the law. Mm. Then I followed the gospel of asceticism. Mm. Then you followed the gospel of philanthropy, doing good for others. And I think of all the different gospels we as even Christians follow without realizing there's only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even in this, even in our own daily need, the one gospel we have to follow is the gospel of Jesus. Mm. His example, the birds of the air, he had nowhere to lay his head, yet his needs were always provided for.
Yeah, another gospel you didn't mention that list, which is common abuse of a passage like this, is the gospel of health and wealth. Or of prosperity, you know, that, oh, once I become a Christian, that's the ticket to the good life. Too many Christians can tell you otherwise. Just talk to Stephen, who was stoned to death by the religious leaders at the time in Acts, right? There's all kinds of examples that being a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to not just have your daily bread, but you're going to have all these other things, you know. So, yeah, amen.
Yes,
amen.
When you said all these other things, I've been sitting here thinking about St. Paul and how he rejoiced in all these things, no matter what state he found himself in.
Yeah, amen.
In Philippians, he says, now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, we're running low on time, so I want us to wrap up with two final points. One just as a side note, but the last one rather important. They're all important, but Tony kind of already hit on this in terms of not being hypocritical as we pray this. That part of if we're going to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we ought to then in our actions do everything to support that prayer request, so to speak. In other words, there's passages in the Bible that talk against the sin of idleness. What's the sin of idleness?
Sloth.
Sloth is how it's talked about in the, or actually in the Proverbs it talks about being a sluggard. You know, and that the sluggard life is not a very good life, long story short. I'll just read a passage briefly from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. That's just one of a number of passages. But the idea is, if we're going to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we ought to, as much as we're able, to look to advance that cause in our life. We don't pray, Lord, use me in bringing people to the Christian faith, and then never go share our faith. You know, it's like we pray for something, God gives us the answer before us, and we don't take it. Again, it's an aspect of hypocrisy. Vera.
That reminds me of my mother. She always said, we need to put legs on our prayers.
Mm. It's a good saying.
That was one of the things I heard over and over again as I grew up.
Yeah. God often uses our own actions to answer our own prayers. And when that happens, we give Him the credit, not ourselves. Amen.
Sometimes God asks us to give daily bread to people who are in some way related to us, family and friends. Mm. And if we have been so blessed, we are obliged by this same prayer to provide for others in our circle.
I think so. And there's other passages that tell us, you know, one of the reasons why we personally should work hard is we have something to share with others. And so that's part of the context here. You know, you have to keep in mind, the Bible talks a lot about the poor. Well, the poor are poor for different reasons. The poor are poor sometimes because they work as hard as anyone else and don't make enough. And then God calls us who have more to give to those who are poor. Sometimes the poor are poor because they have a disability or something, that they're not able to take care of themselves. And God calls us to help and to take care and to love and show what God has given us in abundance to give to others. This passage is not talking about that case. It's talking about those people who are able to do something to advance their cause and instead have a sort of enablement mentality that just thinks they can be here and accept everyone else's hospitality. And God would say it would be not helpful to that person at that point to help such a person by just giving him things, because then you're actually helping that person to commit a sin. And so this is a tough situation to be put into practice. You then have to pray for wisdom on who are the people that you need to help by giving them food and giving them help, and who are the people who you would not be helping by giving them food. And that's why so often the Bible says we need wisdom in applying these things, because it's not always clear cut where someone falls into it. And we have to be careful we're not in some judgmental mentality either when we try to help people in such needs. So, amen. Jules.
In regard to sloth, I like the example that God sometimes gives. He said, watch the ants in an anthill.
Mm.
And if you ever have done that, you recognize that they're very busy.
They're hard workers, yep, that's for sure.
And the bees, too.
Very
damn.
Active workers, yeah.
Well, the last point I want to make, and I think is the most important one, is how this request finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I've tried to show how each of the petitions along the way finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Can anybody take a stab of how this might find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ?
Yes. Eat of me, and thou shalt have eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
This is my body given for you.
Yeah.
And He has given us the spiritual food that we need. Yeah. Scripture is our spiritual food.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that's the analogy you're looking for.
That was the analogy I was looking for, and I had two verses. You quoted one of them. The first one I was going to quote is helpful background to what you just said, which is Matthew 4. Jesus is in the temptation in the wilderness. Satan's tempting him. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by what?
Bread alone.
But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus himself says there's a priority. Yes, daily bread's important. But there's something even better. God's revelation, His word spoken to man, is even better than daily bread. In fact, I need that to really sustain and survive and thrive. That's getting back to what you said at the very beginning when I asked the question, what does this prayer ultimately look for? And you were already there answering that. And then the passage, you might be referring to John 6, so there's a few maybe that would be related to what you were saying. But John 6, you can flip there quickly if you've got your Bibles open. John 6. This is after Jesus feeds people in an earthly way, feeds the 5,000, gives them physical daily bread. The people come back basically looking for more bread, and we'll see what Jesus says to them. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." So tie that together. How does it all fit together? Jules?
I misunderstood you, I'm sorry.
I'll bring it all together. How does Jesus' statement there that he's the bread of God?
The bread of life.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does that fit into this prayer request?
Well,
Jesus is
we
everything.
Need to desire the bread of life. Which
I think you can't help when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Yeah. Think the very thing you were saying, Tony, and what you said at the beginning. You can't help but look beyond our earthly needs and realize that we have greater spiritual needs. That ultimately Jesus is the one who's the answer to those ultimate spiritual needs.
Right.
That even our very real need for earthly bread is a good need, God says. It's a good prayer request. It's a good desire. But we cannot help when we pray it to realize what we ultimately really, really need. And that's kind of getting back into what Trudy was saying. You know, how does God provide our needs? Well, oftentimes he may not provide what we think we need. We think we might need just the bare necessities sometimes. And a good Christian who loves the Lord might starve to death. But I know that ultimately he has provided for their ultimate needs. Even if it's not in this life. Because we know that our time here is limited. And whatever time God has allotted us here, it may be days, weeks, years, you know, who knows how long. But I know that if I am the Lord's, that time will be just the right amount of time to complete the work he has in store for me here. And then I can go to be with him. And certainly, we will not hunger and thirst there, that's for sure. Tony?
This was pivotal in Christ's ministry. Mm. Because he said this, he lost, many of his disciples turned away.
Yeah.
They said, "How can we eat of his flesh?"
Yeah. And so often, you know, I think, you know, that question, they were very much thinking this very strange physical sort of way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They failed to understand at that point, those disciples, the spiritual reality that Jesus was pointing them to.
Yes.
And, you know, so often the health and wealth kind of gospel message that gets put out there puts too much focus on our earthly needs to fail to recognize how much of Jesus' message has a huge spiritual component to it, and that he keeps wanting us to look beyond these things. You know, think of all the good things in life. Marriage. God uses it as an analogy to tell us of the relationship of Christ and the church. Family. God says, "I'm your Father." Food. "I'm going to give you the real food." Water. We need water to survive. Jesus says, "I have the living water. I can give you something that you'll never thirst again." So, you know, all these good things of life, they are good. But don't make them an end to themselves. See beyond them to something better that lays ahead. And that's really our life as Christians. Well, we are out of time. If you have more questions, you can ask me afterwards, or you can bring them for next week too, and we can follow up before we start the next lesson. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you do provide. You provide in our physical needs. Lord, you know our physical needs. We see that in so many different ways. And yet sometimes what we bring to you in our request about our physical needs, we don't find an answer right away. And we don't know how you've answered. And so, Lord, we pray for contentment in those areas. That we can be thankful, as we read in Philippians, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. And that we can trust with true faith in you that you are bringing us to our ultimate home, Lord, in the right time, in the right place, in the right way. And Lord, that whatever circumstances go on in our life, that you are our great shepherd, our good shepherd, who loves us so very much. And we love you, and we thank you, and pray these things in Jesus' name.